up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I am out west, Ashburn, Virginia, as the Commanders back on the practice field ahead of Monday night's tilt against the Cincinnati Bengals. I was listening to the Junks there at the end of their program. And this is a hell of a game, man. There are real questions. Cincinnati's 0-2. They are, you know, they were a preseason Super Bowl contender, but they are 0-2. You can't ignore that. And sure, they fought tooth and nail against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. They also lost at home to the Patriots. So try to rationalize that. And there's this statistic I can't get away from. So far this season, every underdog of 7 points or more has won outright. And you'll tell me I'm making that up, but just think about last week when the Raiders beat the Ravens. Nobody thought that was going to happen. The Bucs went to Detroit as a 7.5-point dog and beat the Lions. And week one, the Patriots were a 7-point dog, maybe even more than that, to the Bengals and won outright. So I would really hesitate to say that Washington has no chance. Before we get into all that, I want to say good morning to the boys. Landini, how do you do?
I'm good, man.
And I'm not doing bits. I'm not there, so I don't know who's with you.
I'm back, baby.
There he is. Hello, Jeffrey. Glad you're feeling better, pal.
Thanks, man.
Brian has an event this morning. He's got some stuff going on. Shout out to B. Last night, I got to host my show on NBC, All Ears. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to guess my guys combined, Jeff and Professor Landini, watch 0 minutes. Do I have that? If I set it at point at 30 seconds, I'm taking the under. Does that sound right, fellas?
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you here. I watched zero seconds. Okay. I was busy hunting down Taco Bell gelato.
How is that Baja Blast gelato?
It's a little more of a sherbet than a gelato, but it does taste very much of Baja Blast.
Well, and I thought of you yesterday, Landini, when I was at 7-Eleven, shout out to MacArthur Boulevard, and I saw the Tapatio ramen noodles. I didn't buy them, but I did think of you.
It's kind of disappointing, but thank you. Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah, man, no problem. Jeff, you gonna nail my under here? Lord knows what you were doing.
I was knocked out yesterday.
Okay. Hey, we all need some sleep, some rest here and there. The good news, despite you guys, a whole lot of people watched, and I got a whole lot of feedback, and I really appreciate it, and we had a lot of fun. It's on YouTube or the NBC Washington app if you want to check it out. Also got some fun news coming up. I guess it's about a month away, a little more than a month. Doing these Wizards altcasts again. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Exact schedule, I don't know if it's out yet, so I'm not going to say what my schedule is, but I'm looking forward to that. Those are always fun. And you really get reminded when working in kind of the pro basketball world of how tall all those guys are and how regular I am. Like when I do the show with like Jason Smith particularly, he's 7 feet tall. And I am almost 6 feet tall. That's a foot difference. In the regular world, I am not short. I'm not tall, but I'm average. In the NBA world, I'm a dwarf. And it's an interesting conundrum to have. Before we get all the way into football, listen, that's all we're going to talk about all day. But there's a guy that deserves at least a quick commentary from me. TJ Oshie is going on the long-term injured reserve for the Caps. I think today's Caps media day, so I'm sure there'll be Caps content all day, right? Oshie is, I mean, for the hockey world, is a legit American hero for what he did for the U.S. men's national team. But for the Caps, they don't ever win a title without Oshie. The beer chug is iconic, putting his shirt over his head. I've gotten to meet him a couple times, handful of times, and just so cool, so down to earth, so easygoing. You know, I covered when the Caps kind of got hot late last year and went on that playoff run. I covered that for NBC4, and dude, the pain that guy was in the dressing room after games and how he tried to gut it out late in the season. To come back and help that team as they were going on that late season run just to get into the playoffs. the physical pain he was putting up with. Remember the quote he gave Lamphill about, like, he was sleeping on the floor in the bathroom because he couldn't really move, but if he had to use the bathroom, he didn't want to have to get up from his bed. Like, I hope the best for him. I'm not going to speculate if I think he's going to play again or not, because different world, and those dudes push through everything if they can. It sure is obvious to me that the Caps are trying to pull off, like, they've got an inside straight draw here. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty improbable, but it could be quite good if it works. Where I think it was this time last year, Backstrom goes on the long-term IR with the hip thing. Now Oshie's on there with his back. Hips and backs, like those sorts of injuries, those are tough, man. So they've got kind of this aging core that is perhaps aging out. They're trying to rebuild on the fly with all these young players, and they're still trying to get Ovi to the goal record. It's going to be fun to watch. Hockey's, there's no better sport in person. But I will confidently speak on behalf of Bemich here. We wish TJ Oshie the absolute best, and if it's over, hell of a run, man. Hell of a run. Jeff, did you want to add anything for TJ Oshie?
Like you said, hell of a run, and we wish you the best, man.
Cool. All right. Lamphill writes the topics, and I think this is a good, interesting one to start with. We got a packed show coming your way. Ralph Vacchiano, Fox Sports, going to join us at 10:30, 11 a.m. Mike Jones, who? Peter Rosenberg is going to join us this afternoon. You will hear from Dan Quinn, who hasn't talked since Monday. Commanders are using the Monday Night Football NFL PR media rules to their advantage, frankly. Just kind of spacing it all out, and DQ doesn't have to talk, so he didn't yesterday. That's one thing I missed from the Bruce Allen days. I don't know if, frankly, if they were unaware of the rules or didn't care or whatever, but, like, they just had practice was open and they talked to the media every time. And now there's a much more awareness surrounding what is obligated per terms with the Pro Football Writers. Anyway, Peter Rosenberg at 1:30. You're going to hear from Dan Quinn probably around 12:30. I also got to sit down and talk to Zach Ertz. You guys are going to hear that. I found Ertz pretty darn impressive, man, both on the field and just as a dude. We're giving away some tickets to the Caps 50th celebration. Going to be a fun day. But we start here. They're 1-1. This time last year, they were 2-0. I think real astute football fans last year probably realized the 2-0 was flawed. They barely beat Arizona at home. Arizona was projected to be god-awful. I think Arizona started, I think, Josh Dobbs in that game, and they had traded for him like 4 days prior. The win in Denver was a pretty good one. Now, they were down big and had to come back, and a Hail Mary at the end. I mean, that was a drag-out fight, and Denver ended up being awful. But, hey, they were 2-0. This year, they're only 1-1, and they got boat raced week one against Tampa. They were able to grind out a really tough win Sunday against the Giants. The Giants are bad, okay? There's a real question. Like, if you consider kind of the holy trinity of NFL operations to be GM, head coach, quarterback, I think there's a real possibility that all three of those are gone next year for the New York Giants, just to kind of, like, keep the operation in perspective up there in the Meadowlands. Still, though, in the NFL, winning matters. And for an operation here in Ashburn, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, and a whole host of others, new people, getting that first win really matters. It really, really matters. Because not to get too far down the line here, but they're not going to be favored again for a while. They're on the road in Cincy, on the road at Arizona, Cleveland at home, Baltimore at home. They're probably not favored again after that Giants game until week 7 against the Panthers. And so let's just say Austin Seibert doesn't go 7-for-7. Instead, he goes 6-for-7. And the Giants end up winning that game. I don't know, and the NFL's funky. You never know. Like, there's a chance they get to 0-6 or 0-5 or something. And you know how devastating that would be for a rebuilding mindset? Like, you never want to get – ask Jeff, who misses most of his bets. You never want to get to a 0-3, 0-4 situation. So getting that win, man, especially the way Dan Quinn is about his business, where it is a mindset, right? Like Dan Quinn is all about mentally, physically, spiritually buying into the concepts of this team and buying into the concepts of constant competition. They needed that damn win. And listen, I'm aware that Graham Gano got hurt and it altered how the Giants had to play that game. Doesn't matter. Like, 6 weeks from now, who knows? Maybe they're fighting for a playoff spot. All it's going to say is a week two win over the Giants. So when you ask me what sort of reasons I have for optimism in Ashburn, especially going up against a Bengals team that desperately needs a dub and has expected, anyway, a whole bunch of weapons available to them. My reasons for optimism aren't necessarily for Monday night in Cincinnati, though they exist. I think it's still big picture. And there was a period of time where my top reason for optimism, and perhaps still is, as I think this through, but the top reason for optimism, I think, is Adam Peters, and is frankly just a functional ownership talent evaluation operation. Like, the good teams across the league have an owner that pays the bills, and listen, every owner cares, every owner wants to be in the loop, but they hire someone to then run the football operation, empower that person to do so, and get updated along the way. And I think that's what Washington has for the first time since Charlie Casserly and Jack Kent Cook were walking around. I was a child in that phase of life. I'm now a 43-year-old man with two children of my own, so it's been a long damn time, probably 30 years. I believe in Josh Harris. I believe in Adam Peters. So, like, my big, big picture reason for optimism starts there, right? Now, specific to now, like this week, going forward, I think Jaden Daniels is at the top of the list. If you are watching this young man and understanding how vital the quarterback position is to winning in the NFL, I think you got to feel pretty optimistic about Jaden and what that does for the team and what that does for the operation. You don't want to overstate it. It's only been two games. Are there reasons for concern with Jaden with the running and some of the hits? Okay, yeah, for sure. But I think by and large, the good has wildly outweighed the bad. And I think with Jaden, I mean, that's the reason for the optimism, at least at the top of the list. Now, beyond that, I really like the way they're running the ball. I have significant concerns about the defense. I recognize that there's a hope that, like, coaching and maybe some adjustments can make some big changes there, but I'm not so sure that'll happen. But dude, Landini, I don't know if your question was big picture or for this week, but if you're asking me why Commanders fans should be optimistic about this team right now, I think Jaden is at the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Jaden's at the top of the list. But other than that, like, is there a whole lot?
For this season, I think the run game, Brian Robinson, I think, is going into his third season, so there's at least another year on his rookie deal. I got one that people will disagree, and I'm fully aware of the false starts in the red zone. I think the false starts in the red zone stuff, I think you've got to treat that as an one-off outlier, and if it continues to happen, then you got to do, like, something significant has to change there. But I'd argue that I think the offensive line has been better than expected. I think Biadasz has been awesome. I think Cosby's a really good player. I think Allegretti's been pretty good. The tackles are questionable. Wiley has had some struggles. Coleman has had some struggles. He's also coming back from the injury. He's also, like, weirdly still a little bit rotating with Cornelius Lucas. Maybe that's just, like, a football-shaped thing. But I think the offensive line is some reason for optimism. I'm not sure about the receiver position. I like, for right now, I like the tight end group. I think Zach Ertz can get open among the best tight ends in the NFL. I don't think he's the yak guy he once was, but he can get open and catch the ball. I think for a long-term optimistic view, or hell, just even like this, looking at the entirety of this season, you'd like to see McCaffrey and Sennett get more involved. Generally, I've been saying this for a while, that I'd expect those kind of young rookie players, look for them like after Halloween. Once they kind of see the speed, size, scope of life in the NFL, get used to it, and then kind of advance from there. McCaffrey, depending on the advanced stats you look at, is separating really well. He's not getting a ton of looks, but he is getting separation. Defensively, like I said, that I am pleasantly, I don't even know that surprise is the right word, but I think the offensive line has been better than expected. I think particularly a position they've struggled so much at center since Rui broke his leg 3-4 years ago in Denver. I mean, that has been such a revolving door disaster at center. Having Biadasz, who everybody calls badass, like having badass at center is a complete game changer for them. And they signed him, I want to say, to a 3-year deal. So that's something to be pleased about. Defensively, though, I don't have a lot for you. I don't think you're getting much from the edges. I don't think now it's easy. People will see the price tags with John and Duran and just bang on them. They are getting doubled a whole heck of a lot. Still, they're not producing, so bang on them. That's fine. They're not producing at a level they need to. They're not producing at a level to make this defense a little more functional. I think Wagner's still Wagner and Luvu, I like. In the secondary, it's a humble group, man. You got to hope the adjustment that was made in the second half last week, where they bench Mike Davis, which is probably where he belongs, not trying to take shots, but he didn't play a snap in the first game and then had to get benched at halftime in the second game, probably tells you what you need to know. Where you had BSJ and Noah I as your outside corners, I think that's the path. But, dude, Cincinnati rolls out Jamar Chase. If T. Higgins comes back, Gesicki's a pretty capable weapon at tight end. And they got this new wideout, Yoshi. Ayashivas, something like that. And then Burrow's wrist all of a sudden looks okay. I think this is a tough matchup coming, and I think it's a very good time for Washington to be 1-1 and not 0-2. But one more time, I'll tell you, nobody had the Raiders winning last week in Baltimore. Crazy things happen in the NFL.